Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty, a daily podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and I wanted to jump in the middle here of going down some of the positional rundown stuff. I've updated a couple things on the website that I think are relevant, so I'm going to cut a couple podcasts here. We'll pick up with the tight end stuff in the next couple of shows here, but I do want to hit this a couple of these off-season tracking things early here because people are getting into drafts. I think there is some high value to it, right? I do think there's some usefulness in particular and some edges that we can look at here. So I track the off-season quarterbacks, and this was a project I did last year primarily because Schefter and a couple of other people were like, there could be 18 different changes at quarterback, and I forget what the exact number was, but it wasn't that many. So I went and I actually did it. You know, I did them all and tracked out sort of where they were. And I think it was like, you know, maybe like 10 or something like that, 8 to 10, something like that. It changes. Might have even been a little bit more than that because of the rookies and that. But it wasn't this massive, veteran trade market thing that we saw. So, or that I think they were alluding to really in the in some of that offseason tweet action. So what I've done is I've gone through and I actually sorted it by the draft, the NFL draft order in which they actually earned it. So of course there's some traded picks and stuff. So I actually put the teams on the tracker in the slot where they actually belong. All right. So it's the slot where they are, where their natural pick would be. So we'll just do a quick rundown here again. So it's team, their record, their draft slot, the expected 2022 starter, whether or not we have confidence in the 2023, that being the 2023 starter. And I did put their starter from 2021, right? So we can look and see sort of what they came into last year and sort of what the changes are. And just a little brief note, two or three word will suffice on a lot of these. It's just meant sort of for, just some limited things to look at, right? That's really what the note is. It's not meant to be anything comprehensive because that's just not the nature of this particular tracker. So I think the headline would be this. I think there's a couple of headlines. I included all of the first round guys from the 2021 draft class. So that's Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, Trey Lance, and Mac Jones. I included all five of those guys as being confident in 2023. If you got me in an honest moment, we could have a further discussion about that. For the purposes of this, I'm not entirely worried about it. I think they're going to get, you're going to give them a shot, right? Even people that have been disappointed, they sort of get into year three, right? Could people bust out? Sure, like it's possible. It's not really something that I think it would probably take a pretty massive bust in year two for someone not to come back and get an opportunity in year three. So, that's kind of where I'm at right now. I'm just going to pivot them all through again. Is it possible? Sure. I think for all of these guys, we shouldn't be super confident long-term is kind of the point of the rookies, or the young guys that haven't done it yet. Right. So I just sort of kicked them all through, but with the caveat of like, we're not really that confident in what their long-term prognosis is, just that they're probably going to be walking out and being the 2023 starter. So there's different levels of confidence. And again, there's tiers in this, there's super max, there's cores, that sort of stuff as well. So I think that you sort of look at those and think about those as well, right? This is a different way to look at it. So we have 13 guys, so five of them from last year. And then in addition to that, there's Lamar Jackson. And it's notable that Lamar Jackson's the first guy, it's the earliest pick at 14. And then basically the rest of the guys, they're all playoff guys. So it tells you something, right? The difference is there, except for Justin Herbert. So it's Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, with confidence in 2023. I think that Lamar Jackson's going to be on an extension, but if that was on a tag, right, that's kind of what we're looking at. We're sort of into that phase of his rookie deal. He's going on to a fifth-year deal. Sort of what does that look like? I'm a no on Baker. Right, I don't think I'm confident in that situation. I am in Lamar Jackson. You're not asking me 2024 or 2025 or anything like that, but you're asking me 2023. I think he's their starter in one way, shape, or form, just because, you know, it's not a huge commitment for them to sort of do that. Would be the thing. And, you know, I think that they want to see, is he a long-term passer for them? And it's been not a linear growth type of career for him either. So I am confident, but it's it's more of an intermediate confidence. It's a 2-year confidence more than it is anything longer than that. So just sort of keep that in mind. But Herbert, I have him as a Supermax already. So for what that's worth, Kyler Murray, he is, I have confidence for a couple of years. I'm not at the Supermax status for him yet. Just because he hasn't done it for a full season. You know, he's done it for basically, you know, parts of 2 or 3 seasons, depending on how you want to measure it. And, but he hasn't, you know, I'd like to see him stay healthy, even though I don't necessarily believe that guys are injury prone per se, but I would like to see him stay healthy. And I think that's an important aspect of it. And what you do while playing hurt is another aspect of it. I mean, we see this with Baker. We see this with Stafford, right? We see it with Rodgers, right? I think there's a couple of differences between, you know, good and great. There's the, you know, I just go back to there's a throw Derek Carr misses to Waller in the end zone. And it was that game against the Chargers. And it was like, hey, if he's a great one, he makes that throw. And then it was, that's the almost the exact throw that Mahomes makes to Kelsey to beat the Bills. And it's like, all right, like you, it's that throw, right? And it's just the difference between good and great. I think there's some of that stuff on the field that happens. And there's some of the stuff that happens, right, when things aren't perfect. And playing hurt is one of them. Like, I mean, we see what Rodgers does. Like, Rodgers is probably going to win an MVP on a broken toe where he didn't practice for a month, right? Again, that's superhuman. But, you know, if Kyler Murray gets dinged up, he has really struggled to do well. And I think that is something that we need to be cognizant of for sure. So just for what that's worth, again, I don't necessarily think he's injury prone per se, but when he is shown to not be perfect, it has not been good. So I think that is a distinction there that we need to get. Again, if he got a full season in, I think he could be, you know, and get sort of locked up, I feel more confident long term. But that I would say also that note in the playoffs about, hey, this was the most he's prepared for a game. That's not an endorsement. That is not an endorsement. That is a skeptical situation. So just for what that's worth. Dak Prescott, Supermax, buy low if that's there. Josh Allen, Supermax. I mean, he's got an argument for 101. That's fine. The other ones are Mahomes. Burrow, I'm confident in multiple years. I'm pretty confident long term. I would say the question that I have with Burrow is, simply put, volume. And at this point, his cost is at the ceiling of his variance. So what do I mean by that? Really high touchdown rate. I mean, if you look at it, you know, he leads the league in touchdowns over 50 yards. And he leads the league in touchdowns over 40 yards. Those aren't repeatable things, especially when you're not throwing at a ton of volume. This isn't like he's Brady and he's throwing, you know, like a league leading amount of times. And I think Brady threw it almost significantly more than like the number two team. This isn't one of those situations. And so, you know, this isn't a situation where, yeah, he led the league in 50-yard passes. Well, he threw the ball 812 times, right? He should have. He's going to lead in those stats just because he's aggregating. Nah, he like threw it in like the low to mid fives. And you're like, oh, like that's, again, high touchdown rates, over expectation by a bunch of touchdowns. Those are all things that give me a lot of pause in terms of projecting ceiling. So if he's going to be a low-end quarterback one when that happens, if we're not going to get a big uptick in volume, he's going to kind of middle out a little bit in terms of what his projection is. So do you want to pay a top 5 quarterback cost for that? That's a hard no for me. So, and again, the thing with these guys, and it's really, I'm going to continue to do this, because it avoids a big miss, which I really think is what you're trying to avoid. You know, if you're playing Dynasty over the long term, if Joe Burrow is like quarterback six right now and he posts like a top, you know, eight finish or something like that next year, top six finish, right? He finished quarterback five on the season. Like, his cost isn't going to go up that much. Like, it might go up a couple of spots, right? But there's only, you know, if he's a first-round startup pick, he's a first-round startup pick, right? The ceiling on that isn't too much higher than he could really go. I mean, he's probably capped realistically at three, right? Or two, you know, somewhere in that. Like, he's probably not going all the way to one. And, but there's a floor concern, right? If he posts, you know, if he's quarterback 16, because it's the same amount of attempts and he regresses a little bit in terms of some touchdown stuff. Jamar Chase, not with the big touchdowns, you know, he's more neutral or below what you would expect in big plays. And all of a sudden, like, you're like, wait a second, what happened? That can collapse a little bit, right? So again, the one hit aspect of him is a little, it's a little teetery, right? It's a little, you're kind of teetering on the edge of between good and great for Dynasty. And that's a spot where I tend to exhibit a little bit of caution. Same thing I did, you know, I've done this. I think sometimes you have to, it's more of a feel thing, right? Usually it's at one hit. Sometimes it's at two. Almost all the time I treat one hit guys as if they're not, you know, I want to make them prove it again. Sometimes if it's two hits, I want to see it again for a variety of reasons, Kyler Murray being one of those guys. But you saw it with Herbert, right? And with Herbert, it was very much like, all right, like, there's some things about him, you know, some of the repeatable things that he needs to, like, grow at to be really good. Some of that, like, the pocket passing stuff. He was exceptionally good in terms of non-repeatable stuff, like on third down, under pressure, like all these things that typically don't repeat. So let's, like, take a pause and, you know, if he's that guy, like, that's awesome. But we're not going to get burned, like, paying a huge price more. And he ended up, he goes up, what, you know, four or five picks in the first round of a startup draft. And you're like, okay, that's, like, I didn't get burned doing that. Whereas you get burned doing that with Trevor Lynch. You get burned doing that with Baker Mayfield. I think the big loss is being on the wrong side of them failing, not the wrong side of them succeeding. And so I think that's a place that we will err. And that's definitely something that the research at AOD has taught me in terms of a process thing. So you will not get me going Burrow over a guy like Dak Prescott just because, like, we know a lot more about Dak and we sort of know, you know, what his arc looks like a little bit more. And I think a guy like Burrow is a lot more susceptible to some variance and stuff. And, you know, and it probably is at the height of his variance. So, yeah, he was drawn good if you were thinking poker wise. So that's the short story long on Burrow. And then Stafford, I'm confident in 2023. I mean, has there been a better trade in the NFL in my lifetime? I'm not sure. I mean, you go back to maybe like the Herschel Walker trade, something like that. But if you believe, and I'm not sure that I believe this, so I'll just caveat that. I'm not entirely sure that that's, I'm not entirely sure I believe that the cost of moving on from Jared Goff was a first round pick. So we'll just sort of caveat that. I don't think that that's how Detroit looked at that deal. And I'd be surprised if in an honest moment that that's what they said. But if you believe that, like, hey, to get rid of Jared Goff, it was going to cost you a first-round pick, and all you had to do was trade a pick 2 years away for Matthew Stafford, and you got Matthew Stafford, like, it could be the greatest trade of my lifetime. I mean, that's an incredible trade. That's all it cost you to get a franchise quarterback. It cost three firsts for San Francisco to put on their bench a guy that they're not even sure about. I mean, you traded one future pick for Stafford under that calculus. That's an incredible trade. It's an incredible trade. So that's just, you know, just some reflection on that as well. So those are the guys. So there's eight guys. Again, it's Stafford, it's Burrow, it's Mahomes. It is Allen, Prescott, Murray, Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson. So, and then the five rookie guys. So then you look through down here. Detroit at two. I would say that their 2022 starter is likely Jared Goff. I don't think there's confidence in 2023. I'm an unknown on Houston. If they hired Brian Flores tomorrow, like, there's a decent shot that Watson comes back. I don't know with this Flores stuff, sort of what, you know, where he's going to sit And I'm recording this on Thursday night. So if we have an answer to this, like, you know, that's, I mean, if Flores is the quarterback, if this Flores is the coach in Houston, I think there's a decent shot that Mahomes is, or that Watson's back, right? And again, I'm recording this Thursday night. So if there was a change on Friday or something, and this comes out on, when this comes out on Saturday, like you'll kind of, maybe you'll have an idea. I doubt that it's going to happen that way, but just for what that's worth. And then you look down, you know, the Giants, it's a firm no. I think Jones is probably the likely 2022 starter. I don't know. Like, it's a tough one. I think he's probably the likely 2022 starter. I have no confidence in 2023. Like, I think they'll probably give him a shot this year. I think he will be a starter someplace this year. He will get a shot one way, shape, or form. I think the most likely thing is probably the Giants, and I think the most likely outcome for the Giants is probably him. So for what that's worth, a total unknown in Carolina. Like, I remember a year ago where it was like, oh, there's no way Mac Jones is getting past Carolina at 8. No way. It's going to happen. Like, Matt Rhule loves the guy. It's like, okay. That didn't, you know, now they're picking at 6. So we'll see how that goes. Sometimes I think these franchises get too cute. And I'll get to the Patriots thing in a second, but that is an interesting, you know, a process. You just take the guy and then you figure it out. Like, you spend a second on Darnold, like, spend a mid first on a guy that's not, you know, or spend it, like, take a swing at Fields. Like, I don't understand. I'll never understand that pick. Atlanta, I think it's likely Matt Ryan. They're going to be a hard time moving off of him. I think that they could maybe restructure his deal in a way that they could trade him. But it would take a lot. I don't think that they're going to do that. So, what's interesting there from the perspective of team building and the arc, and I think something that we need to be careful of in Dynasty as a storyline that I would watch, they were objectively, like, way worse than their record last year by almost any measure, and they were one of the worst teams in football, but got really lucky and finished 7-10. I think they were, like, the worst DVOA team at 7-10, almost at any record that they would have finished at. Like, they were coming down the stretch, and it was like, hey, whatever record, you know, if they're going to be 6-11, or, you know, whatever, you know, basically with however many wins they have, like, they're going to be the worst DVOA team ever. You know, and so they get 7 wins. You got to be careful about that, because, you know, oh, hey, look, like, we're super optimistic. And now if we regress a little bit, and it's like, okay, like, hey, we're supposed to get better, but we're like 6-11 now. Like, wait a second, we're going in the wrong direction. It was like, yeah, but we were horrible last year and we just got really lucky. And now we actually perform better, but we got less lucky. And so now, like, we actually perform worse than the record. We're picking in the top 5 again. I don't think that's an unreasonable thing. So I would be cautious of them if that was what was going to happen. So just, I think it's an interesting storyline to watch. I think Arthur Smith's a good coach, but I don't think this team's good. So we'll watch for that. Denver, I mean, half measures are not working. You know, they're just not. This is a, right, if we're going back to me, you know, fixing the garage for a second, I actually called someone, right? And hopefully by the time that this is actually released, my door will be fixed. So instead of screwing around out there in the cold, you know, and messing around with my door, call someone and fix the damn problem, right? You know, we've been going through this thing for a while without the garage door working, and finally we just called someone and fix it, right? Fix it. Spend the money, fix it. It turns out my door opener wasn't the right one, so I had to go buy a better one, right? I had to return the old one, spend more money on the better one, and then hire someone to do it. But you know what? For, like, the whatever, like, couple hundred extra dollars that it cost me, you know what I'm going to be able to do? Park in my garage in the middle of February. Like, fix the problem. As, like, a lot of the times with, like, Carolina and Denver, like, you keep patching half measures together and you waste a whole winter of walking into your house to the front door to open your garage door like an idiot, right? And that's kind of what these guys have been doing with good core pieces. And, you know, to don't do the half measure garage door fix. It's just not working for you guys. Seattle, so Russell Wilson, I actually have confidence that he's going to be a multi-year starter, just not with Seattle, because I think that he's getting to the spot where they could potentially move on, and there's some contractual stuff where it might make some sense for them to do that. So that's a point that I'd watch for. He will be a starter for as long as he wants, you know, for the next 5 years if he wants to keep playing. But I do think that there's a potential that he's going to get traded. So that would be something I'd watch for. Washington, I think they're firm, like, in the dead zone of the quarterback range, which is interesting. Like, you know, should they have, like, stepped in last year to try to get up higher and get a guy? I don't know. It's interesting. I think that they probably should have. And listen, if you don't, I think the answer to this question is if you don't have the guy, you need the guy. Like, if you don't have the guy, pick a guy and just keep doing that. And I think, you know, we'll talk about the Patriots thing in a second again, but like, I think they're a good example of sort of how to do it. So Cleveland, I think it's likely Baker's the 2022 starter. I heard Joe Thomas talking about them this week, and, you know, he's like, yeah, he deserves another shot, like healthy shot, you know, get one more crack at this and see how it goes. And we'll see. You know, I was a big supporter of Baker coming in. He's been less than good. So we'll see. I know that they're scouting guys, and they should. Like, you should take every opportunity, right? And this is a good example, like in Dynasty, even when you think you have, like, quote, a fix, like, make it better, right? Always be looking for better options. And I think that this is what Cleveland's doing. So it's not going to shock anyone if they're looking for guys here or they're in the trade market or anything like that. They have a guy that they can start in 2022. But again, this is the crazy fiance situation. Like, all right, like, we dated for a while. We proposed, right? We put the fifth year contract on you. You know, we exercised that option, right? We were engaged, and the wedding is in 6 months. And it's like, all right, like, here we go. This is the time. This is what we want to do. And this is right where Cleveland's at. So it'll be interesting here to see sort of what their reaction to that is. Tua, I mean, I don't know what type of commitment that they have to him. It seems like they have a strong one, given that they fired the coach that didn't. I think of all the stuff from the, for purely selfish reasons, I want to read the discovery questions of if it's Chris Greer, if it's Stephen Ross, or whoever, right, the owner, the GM of the Dolphins, about who, or heck, Brian Flores for that matter, why, under oath, why Ryan Fitzpatrick was benched. I want the answer to that question, and I hope that that is of the solvable things that'll come out of that lawsuit, which I have some questions about what that lawsuit will actually solve, because you're presuming good faith and sort of and all that from in the hiring process, which I'm not sure, you know, and I don't even think it's necessarily racial bad faith, but it's I think it's a complicated and difficult human interaction issue, beyond anything of necessarily like an anti-black candidate, approach, right? It's a complicated dynamic. It's a complicated issue to try and, you know, figure out. But if there's anything we get from that, like, I'd be fascinated from that, because it's going to go into the tanking angle of that lawsuit, and it's going to be a fascinating, fascinating set of discovery questions. So that's one I'm definitely looking forward to. All right, Indianapolis, Patrick is failing. You know, Carson Wentz, we'll see. You know, he's just going to keep getting, like, this is going to be the football guy approach. Like, oh, we can fix Carson Wentz. This is going on for like 5 years of like a new, oh, we need to give him a new shot. Whereas like EJ Manuel never got a new shot. Like, this is one of those things. So if you're looking at like disparate impacts, like Carson Wentz and like some of the quarterbacks that kind of failed out are a good example to look at. New Orleans, James Winston was the starter last year. Obviously he got hurt. I think it was a more of a complicated knee issue too. So we'll see there how that goes. I think he should get another chance again. And this could be a situation like for, he's interesting in the shape of like if you're going to try and do like a Carson Wentz type approach to fixing the quarterback position, Winston's going to cost you a lot less in both cash and picks. So for that perspective, like, I think it's an interesting, like, I'd much rather have Winston than Wentz, because, you know, he's not going to cost you as much, he's not going to cost you picks. Like, I'd much rather do that kind of deal. That's one for sure. And then, we get down here a little bit further. So Jalen Hurts, he's officially interesting. And again, I talked about him in a couple of different perspectives. One of them being, you know, if you're looking at guys that are, you know, like, how do you fix the position? And I think and they're butting right up against New England. So we'll combine these. I keep saying we'll talk about New England. And I think this is a dynasty thing too. And I think it has to be one of those things you sort of understand what you're doing. And for the NFL, it might be a little bit different than it is for dynasty. But I think for dynasty, you have to sort of kind of appreciate it for what it is, and then but understand it's a two-step process. So what do I mean? When you take a guy like Mac Jones, you have to understand that there's probably limitations to him being, like, he's probably not going to be a grand slam hitter. He's probably going to not bat third or fifth, or, you know, back when I was younger, it used to be fourth. It was where you bat your power hitter. I know that has changed some with the analytics. I haven't done as much in baseball recently, but I know that has changed philosophically. But your power hitter, right? The guy that you put up there with, you know, in the power slot, right? Your best hitter, your best power hitter, wherever you put that guy in the lineup, third, fourth, second, something like that. You want basically that, right? That's what you want at quarterback. When you draft Mac Jones, you know you're probably not getting that, right? And that's probably why he falls to like the mid first or late first in dynasty drafts. It's probably why he falls there in the NFL draft. And I think you have to understand, like, what is it that you were trying to accomplish, and did you accomplish that, and what is that worth? So, for example, Mac Jones is very much like a single. Like, hey, you got your, you know, even a double. It's like a leadoff double. Like, all right, if you get it like a leadoff double, that's great. Like, that's, you know, first inning, get a guy on base. That's fantastic, right? Everything's looking good. Like, you can take a lead, you plan from ahead. Like, this is great in baseball. Doubles aren't great when you're down, you know, when you're down seven runs, right? It's the bottom of the ninth and there's two outs. Like, that's great, you got on base, but that doesn't help us very much. Mac Jones is very much like the leadoff double in the sense of, like, yeah, gets on. This is perfect. Like, heading in a positive direction. Like, again, we still have range of outcome concerns, but the market's going to look at him and be like, oh, all right. Like, hey, this is, you know, hey, if I'm trying to rebuild, like, Mac Jones is a guy that could help me. He could be a quarterback too for 15 years, right? Like, you sort of have that build about him. That narrative that can take place, that's like a perfectly valid reason to take a quarterback where he took him. And I think that you know, hitting a double, right? And again, I've talked about this in different contexts. This is another version of, and I'll tell the story for newer subscribers. You know, there was a period, and I wrote about this, I think it was a 2021 edition, where I, you know, one of my approaches was like to golfing. I would spend 6 to 8 strokes around, you know, dropping balls. And so finally I just put my driver in my garage and I went and played golf without it. And all of a sudden my handicap dropped like 4 or 5 strokes. And I actually went out and played a tournament with my dad and we won. And I'd never done well in it because I was constantly, you know, hitting balls out from underneath trees or taking drops or, you know, fishing for the ball out of the water or, you know, just double cross. You know, it's all the mistakes that I could make. It's just crazy. I was the only person. There was a huge tournament, I think 144 players. There was a big tournament. Again, it was like a multi-person, multi-tier member guest with handicap and all that stuff. So, again, I am not good, but I'm good enough to compete in my group. And so I was the only person that didn't have a driver in his bag. Literally in the field, I was the only person that didn't have a driver in the bag. And it was because I was like, listen, I'm going to, yeah, I can't hit a grand slam. Like, I can't drive a par 4 with my driver. But you know what? I probably wasn't going to do that anyways. And you know what? Like, I'm probably not going to, I can't reach the water that's 50 yards right with my 3-wood. So, like, this is optimal. Right? Because who cares? Like, I'm not good enough that 10 yards in the fairway, 15 yards in the fairway is really going to matter much to hitting an approach shot. But not being in the water is an immense benefit, right? That is Mac Jones. Right? That is Mac Jones. You just get the ball in play. You're going to matriculate it down the fairway, and we're going to get it on or near the green in our second shot. And then we're going to chunk it up there, and we're going to take a bogey. And then we're going to be like, yes, and we're going to storm off and we're going to go around the course hitting a 90. And that is an excellent, very successful number for my handicap. That's the Mac Jones approach. So when you understand that, he's already on that arc. Like, he's, you know, he's played the front nine. He's like, you know, he's right. If your goal was like, hey, we're going to shoot like 42 to 45, like I'm a bogey golfer, maybe a little bit better than that on a good day. Hey, he shot 42 to 45 on the front nine. That's excellent. Like, trade him. Like, you kind of know what that is. Right? You kind of know where he's going to reside. Use him as an uptick guy right now and trade him. I think that's exactly it. Hertz is a little bit different. Hertz is very similar to this. Say, hey, you know, you don't pay a triple price or a home run price for a doubles hitter. I think there's a little bit different variation on what his cost might be and what his upside might be. But when you sort of look at it, like, you want him to do for Philly, like, this is ideal. Like, he gets him to a playoff. Like, this is great. Like, you're trying to try out this guy. You basically paid nothing for him. And we'll just sort of see where it takes us. But you sort of have to know what the lifespan of that is, what the ceiling of that is. And if it's not going to be, you know, I'm never going to turn into, my golf game's never going to turn into someone that's going to play like, you know, the local amateur circuit, right? But I can win a weekend flight in a member guest, right? I can figure that one out. I'm never going to be, right? If anyone starts betting on me big time, I'm never going to take that bet because I'm not that good, right? But if, you know, and I'm never going to try out to be on the amateur circuit around locally because I'm not good, right? Because I can't hit a driver, right? But I sort of know my limitations and I can optimize around them. And I think that that's the example of both of those. And that's the exact reason why you sort of use them as pivot guys, right? They've succeeded. They have, they've gotten on the board, and you use them right now as pivot guys. And I think that that's the key to those guys. So I figure I go deep on my golf stories because I, you know, it's the off season. We can talk about it a little bit. Derek Carr, again, like, you pivot from Mac Jones to Derek Carr and get plus for Derek Carr, gajillion times over. Like, we do that. I usually like to pivot up, but like, that's the perfect pivot. If you can get Derek Carr plus for like a Mac Jones, you do that a gajillion times over. And I don't think it's an impossible thing to do. But again, he's one. I am confident that he's going to be a starter for multiple years. I'm not confident that it's going to be in Vegas. So he is a no there, but he is a yes in terms of, again, I am measuring confident current starter 2023, same team. Carr, Wilson, Tannehill, and Rodgers are four additional guys. I'm really measuring the team here. So it's 13 teams. I'm measuring there's basically 17 guys, right? So just over half of the guys, consider current starters. Some of them aren't actually, we don't have anyone that we think is it. But of the, you know, there's basically 17 guys I think that we'd feel confident going into 2023 with, that they would be starters. But they might be on the move. So, Tannehill's one. Obviously Brady and Roethlisberger have retired, so you got those. Rodgers, again, I think he's on the move, but he'll be a starter for a couple of years. Finally confident with that. I think, you know, the other guys, maybe Garoppolo. I think Garoppolo's on the potential move. You know, is he going to be a 2023 starter? I'm not sure, but contractually he's an interesting 2022 guy for sure. Doesn't cost very much. He's like a poorer man's version of Derek Carr. And again, he's not going to implode you financially. What you don't want to do is pay a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo $35 million. That's what you absolutely don't want to do, because then you turn into something like, and again, we like him, but that's how you kind of turn into Minnesota pretty quickly, and you don't want to do that. So, and we like Kirk Cousins, generally speaking, but from an NFL perspective, you can't do that. So I wouldn't necessarily expect multiple years commitment right now, but maybe if he's traded, they extend him. Right. But I think one of the benefits of him is he's really reasonably priced at this point. So that'll do it for this episode. And again, I just wanted to run down some of these guys and give you an idea, you know, of kind of what I'm thinking in terms of longevity teams. You know, and there's some storyline to watch for. Green Bay for sure, Tampa, you know, the Saints, where these guys ultimately land up in quarterbacks. There's going to be a number of guys, you know, and what the implications of it are. You know, being on a guy like Andy Dalton for a fourth-round rookie pick right now in your startup drafts, like that, I think that makes some sense. You know, Trubisky late in your draft, I think makes some sense. You look at guys who have done it, and maybe they're not necessarily even good, but you look at guys that have done it. You know, if Jordan Love is going to fall really far, for example, like, you know, if he's going to be a third round rookie pick equivalency, like, take shots there. You know, I think that all those things make a lot of sense. You know, Winston, You know, heck, Garoppolo's not entirely all that pretty right now. Tyrod Taylor in the fourth round, like in the fourth round equivalency of rookie drafts. I think those things are all possible, and that would be a way to do it. So I'm going to have another pod talking about some of the ideas about how to sort of flesh out some of your situations, but that would be sort of your thought right now for looking at these guys. So that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.